But I apologize to those that are watching the video. It is a terrible quality because I'm going off the actual webcam instead of the video cam. For some reason, the video cam is not picking up anything, and the cords are all there. It's just a hassle. So be happy that you want to watch while we do this stuff. But the rest of us, I hope the sound is okay. And let's get started, because this is going to be interesting stuff for me, I guess. Maybe it's going to challenge me a little bit or something. I don't know. We're all challenged by our walk, and we need to realize that God's grace allows us to get up and try it again. And if we can't get rid of something, then just give it time, give it time. And be thankful for God's grace, and you know, there's no law, all things are law, blah, 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 all that stuff. Let's get into this thing here. This is part one. Now, out there, I'm looking around to make sure this is all working, because it makes me tense with all this stuff. We are starting a series. I don't know how long it'll go or how we'll kind of wing this thing as we go, but this is basically the gainsayers. We are to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And we have a specific gainsayer in mind here. His initials are JM. He said he listened to this stuff. I think he said he's going to Pensacola College. Or somewhere down there anyway. And he has written to me many emails, you know, challenging and not agreeing with this, not agreeing with that, about what he said. And we realize that even though his mouth should be stopped because he's going to teach a false gospel to people, he's going to continue his religion of Diana there with this following man's attempt at living good enough to please God kind of a thing. And when you mess up, you get your confessing point. Nothing but a bunch of Catholic kind of Baptist stuff. And he's this guy, well, he doesn't mean it, but when he can graduate it, he's going to subvert houses. He's going to destroy. And he's going to do it for money. He'll get paid to do it. And they need to be rebuked sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So this is not going to be as much of a rebuking. I'm just going to respond to his comments and his statements. And let him see, let anybody see out there that, first of all, they're going to hear what he says, and a lot of people are going to recognize if they were to be listening, they would recognize, well, that is what we've been taught. That is the doctrine. But they're going to see how that is not applicably fine. They're wrong in their application. Plus, we're going to see that there's evidence here that the mind is really gone. They're not capable of understanding what you read this morning. They're not even capable of understanding what we say here. Drop my microphone here. I'm sure it's still on here. They're not even capable of understanding the answers here. So let's just jump into this thing and see where this thing goes tonight. And we're kind of trying to warm it up here. Hope this video stuff is all working, and hope you pay attention, listen up here. Here we go. Here we go back and said, here are four main reasons why I am not getting this Paul only stuff. I would probably have a much more open mind. Notice this is probably have a much more open mind if not for these three main points. Well, he says, I'm going to give you four main reasons. Then he says three, but whatever. If you can refute these points, which I will, then I certainly have much to think about. If you can't refute or you can't give explanation to the verses I am basing my points on, then it is you who have much to think about. Yeah, fine. Point number one. He says, there is no evidence that Hebrews to Jude was written to the tribulation saints. Rather, there is evidence it is written to the church age. Get out of here, motorcycle. The evidence that Hebrews to Jude is not written to the believers in the tribulation is this. Okay, now, are you following? He says that the Hebrews to Jude is for us today, not for the tribulation. He goes to 1 John 2:18. Okay, so he's going to prove that Hebrews to Jude is not written by going to a verse within there. 1 John 2:18. And he says, it says here, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Okay, now that's his verse that proves that the Hebrews to Jude is not to the tribulation. First of all, you can go through all these books and you can find something that would be, you know, fairly applicable to today. Just because this is a transitional time. Get that motorcycle out of here. I'm not in the mood for neighbor's motorcycle tonight. You're going to sit there and idle all night. You watch. So he says this. Whoever John was writing to, well, that's nice. Can you hear the motorcycle? He's gone. Whoever John was writing to, now that's nice that he doesn't know who John was writing to, but, you know, it is clear the Antichrist had not come. Daniel, he always goes back to Old Testament to prove what he's trying to get across. Daniel 9:27 says that the tribulation, which would be the last week, you know, the last week, will not begin till the Antichrist makes a covenant. It is only logical to conclude then that 1 John is not written to the tribulation saints, because see, they're still talking that it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even though there are many Antichrists. That's his thing. Now, I'm not even sure totally how he's coming up with this thing. So he's just taking this one verse, and he's showing the fact that, well, okay, so the Antichrist hasn't come yet necessarily, except in John chapter 4, it has. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not. So here's already how you deal with the spirit of Antichrist. But anyway, he doesn't realize. First of all, a couple of things here. One is, if you study through Hebrews to Jude, and I've got the studies on there, and he said he's read them. I don't think he has. And I gave him all the verses just in Hebrews. Why? Those are to the Jews. And they're as plain as can be. I won't even go through them tonight. As plain as can be. But the order of the book. Peter and James and John and Jude were all before Paul's time. So how do they get at the back of the Bible? Now, if you believe your Bible is the Word of God and it's put together by the Lord Himself and it's perfect, it's done, even though they're going to start trying to take out Revelation now, it's done. So there's an order here that's got to be very interesting to somebody, that this stuff comes after Paul. Then you've got to also realize that what's taught in these books doesn't match up with what Paul teaches in his books. And Galatians 1 says it's got to match his stuff. Now, they would find a few things. Well, sure, we can find a few things in the Gospels that Paul reiterates that Christ told Paul, as he told the Jews, but he also told the Gentiles. But there are things in there in the Gospels that he taught to the Jews that were not to take to the Gentiles. And there were things that in the Gentiles that were geared to the Gentiles and not to the Jews. Just like in the tribulational days, it's going to be geared to the people in the tribulation, and it's going to have to do with their walk, and it's going to have to do with suffering. Well, we could preach about the walk, and we could preach about suffering, but you see there's differences in there. There's differences in 1 Peter chapter 3 with what Peter says about marriage and divorce compared to what Paul teaches. There's a difference. Anyway, we'll get into those things tonight. And his whole comment about 1 John 2:18, I'm not even sure how he can take that one verse and just claim the whole shebang. Let me look at it again here. 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. What do we got here? 1 John 2:18. And it does say it is the last time. Is it motorcycle again? You know, he's going to irritate me all night long, isn't he? He really is. Little children, it is the last time. Whereby we know that it is the last time. And he's talking about the people. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, if he wants to say that that's written for us in the church age today, then we need to go down to verse 20 and ask him, do you have an unction from the Holy One? Do you know all things? I would then take him to verse 17. Do you believe you are anointed to the point where you have no need that any man teach you anything? Then why are you going to college? But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth and is no lie. Okay, is that today? Like I said, if that's today, why are you going to college? Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Okay? JM, are you born of God? We'll say, well, have you committed sin? And I think we'll probably even talk about it. I'll try to get his answer later. So him trying to use this 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 is like, that's just a wasted little argument. What are you talking about? You go through so many verses up here to refute that this stuff goes against Paul. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, etc., etc. And I asked him, can the Catholic get saved then because he confessed his sins? That's exactly what it says. He says, well, you know, I haven't figured that one out yet. So anyway, that's one of them. It's hard to refute things that are just not, what are you talking about? What does that got to do with anything? It even says the last time. In Daniel 9:27, come on. Okay. Anyway, it gets better as we go here, though. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. You still with me out there? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. He says, 2 Peter, better get to it myself here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Whoever Peter was writing to, they were not in the tribulation era. Okay? Here's what he says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. That ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall become in the last days, here we go again, in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I think he must miss verse 5, where it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Anyway, here's what he says, because of that verse right there about scoffers and mockers and all that. What the mockers say is that everything is going the way it has been since creation. Keep in mind during the tribulation, things such as water being turned to blood, fire falling from heaven mingled with hail, demonic locusts, etc., will be happening. I highly doubt during that time there will be mockers who say everything is going as it has been since the creation. The world will be a very different place. So he's just assuming that as rough as things will be during the tribulation, there won't be mockers then. So because we have mockers today, see what he says here? I mean, this is just amazing stuff. I highly doubt that during that time there will be mockers. Yes, there will be. JM, there will be. And there will be those things taking place. Just read Matthew 24. That this is what will be taking place. And read Jude. There will be mockers. That these things aren't taking place today. But we're getting closer to some of them. With the wars, blah, 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 blah. Anyway. So, Peter will be talking during the tribulation. But when Peter was talking, it wasn't tribulational time. It was before Paul came. It was that if they had accepted Stephen's message and they would have accepted Christ then, the second time around, then they would have still had to go through the tribulation for killing Christ in the first place. Then they still would have, after his coming, then their prayers would have been answered again, like we talked about there a couple of weeks ago. Isn't it amazing how, if you think about it, what it could have been? We could already be living in the time where when you did pray, it would be answered. Everything you would request it, etc., etc. And yet, when the world rejected Jesus Christ, not only did the Jews reject Christ, but the world rejected him, and they continue to reject him. And even goes back to the fall with Adam and Eve. It's not going to happen down here. So, yes, I'm sorry, James, but there will be mockers during the tribulation. There's other places, Jude 16 talks about it. But anyway, that's another quickie. That's just like, again, taking one verse and throwing the whole rest of the bathwater out of here. It gets better. Jewish that wasn't number two. That was still part of number one, that we're not in the tribulation. Okay. These books are not for the tribulation. They're for us today. Sorry about that. This is the second point. Jewish believers and Gentile believers are one in Christ. Now here we go. I'm sure you would say we should not follow what was written in James because it was written to Jews. Okay, that's right. Read the first couple of verses there. But that statement of thinking contradicts 1 Corinthians 12:13. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. And you learn what these guys are doing. They'll take one verse and they'll put together a little teaching thing. They'll just take another little verse to match a few other ones. That's profane and vain babblings is what they're doing. And they're trying to put something together instead of letting the Bible be the authority. It's the one who's manipulating all these verses. And there's more of this going on as we get closer to the tribulation, because Peter says they're going to be trying to figure out Paul's teachings. They're going to have to wrestle with the scriptures to get it done. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, where he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into one Spirit." Okay, fine. So his conclusion is that we should read all the Bible because it's all to us. And I had the Seventh Adventist tell me that one day. Well, why are you trying to live by the law? Well, because now see, we're spiritual Jews in Romans with Abraham, and so we should be still following the Jewish teachings. And I would say, look at it this way. Why? JM here also tells us to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, so we go to Ephesians 3, 6. We know what that says. Let's go there anyway. And Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3, we're kind of mixed. The Lord takes down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles and everything. And my statement would be to this guy, listen, why are you saying we should all then become Jewish? And we'll follow up the Jewish teachings. Why not? When Christ went to Paul and went to the Gentiles, why shouldn't the Jews jump over to Paul's teachings? Why are you saying we have to jump into the Jewish teachings? I mean, Christ rose and came back and has all these teachings through Paul, so why shouldn't the Jews jump into Paul? Why are you assuming we as Gentiles should jump back into the gospel and follow Peter? Peter's the apostle to the circumcision. Who's Paul? Galatians chapter 2. He's the apostle to the uncircumcision. So if there's neither Jew or Gentile, yet we know in Romans chapter 11 that the Jews are pretty much blinded, why should we go back to the Jewish way? Why shouldn't the Jewish way? This is what Paul was trying to get across to him in the book of Acts all the time. Hey, here's the new way, folks. This is the way of God more perfectly. Why can't you say, well, let's everybody jump into the Gentile manner here? We're still one. We're still blowing the same spirit, but there's different teachings here. Amazing. That's okay. It's still a small one. Well, let's look at number four. No. I'm so mixed up with this. My mind is not into this thing tonight. This computer stuff just ruins my day here. The first one was about the tribulation, why these books are not the tribulation. He had no argument there, and there's so many verses that go against him. You know, let's just look at one. Let's go back and review a little bit. Maybe I get my mind together here. We look at 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, we have escaped the pollutions of the world. Have we escaped the pollutions of the world? No, we haven't. I mean, there's so many different things in here that have to be tribulation that they're not for the Gentiles. It's not even worth my time right now. Okay. And then number two was about the Jewish believers and Gentile believers that are one in Christ. Okay, well, why can't they jump into the Paul side? That was my point there. Then three, now get this one. You're going to pick up on this one right away. These get easier. This is just kind of frustrating stuff. Here we go. He says, number three, all scripture is profitable for application. Yes, the Gospels, general epistles, and Old Testament is profitable for application, he says. Reproof, rebuke, instruction in righteousness is basically what not to do and what to do, which is application. So, he is saying, he's taking that stuff in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he's adding a word. He changed all that stuff to the word application. It doesn't say that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yeah, doctrine. Does it have to be our doctrine? There's doctrine in there for Adam and Eve. There's doctrine in there for Abraham. There's doctrine in there for Moses. There's doctrine in there for Gospels. There's doctrine in there for Peter. There's doctrine in there for Jude. Tribulational doctrine. There's dispensation of grace doctrine. There's Gospels doctrine. That's not all there for us to apply. There was doctrine in there for Noah. Where does he come up with all this stuff is what we have to apply? All parts of Scripture are profitable for these things, he says. Where does he get that? That application. It's making it say something it doesn't say at all. Drop the mic again. Here we go. How do these people that have websites with live sermons and everything have such a clear picture and great sound? They must just have oodles of money and equipment or something. I don't know. Okay, do you see the point there? All Scripture is profitable for application. It doesn't say that, J.M. You're assuming that reproof and rebuke and instruction is what to do. You're assuming that it's written to us to do, but it's not. That doesn't even take anybody's brain to deal with that. This is why a gainsayer is not going to get it, because their mind is not capable. They twist and they come up with these things like, I don't know how you even come up with that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for application. It doesn't say that. Okay. It is for these reasons I am very hesitant to believe that rightly divided by Paul only is scriptural. Okay. I will most definitely be much more open-minded to the idea of Paul only if the three major roadblocks are clear. If those are roadblocks, you got some pretty sad little roadblocks out there. There is some other stuff, such as, you say, communion and baptism are not to be practiced. That's a roadblock as well. So see, we already have three roadblocks knocked over, shoved into the ditch without a problem, and I got more coming. We'll never convince them. They'll never see it. Now, keep going. Here's a couple of the comments he makes. So this is when it gets kind of interesting, if I remember how we did this today. Just remember, there are seeming contradictions in the gospel accounts. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Okay, let's look it up. Matthew 8, 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Look it up. These are his ending comments here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And he goes 5 to 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Well, Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. There's a big clue right there. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's another clue. But the children of the kingdom of heaven shall be cast out. Now he stops. We'll keep going. Shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Okay. After that, it also says Luke chapter 7. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke 7. Are you flipping the pages and looking these things up here with me? I hope. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. There's a centurion servant. Goes down there. Here to Jesus, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. You know, same thing. Same stuff. It's not so found so great faith in verse 9. Okay, right? Okay, so there's nothing new there. It's just, there it is. Here's what he says here. Now listen to this. In Matthew, the centurion goes, G-O-E-S, capital G. like it's the name of the centurion. In Luke, the servant of the centurion goes. I don't know what else he'd be talking about. So here's the centurion is the one that goes. Why would he capitalize that? The centurion is the one that goes, and in Luke, it's the servant of the centurion that goes. These differences go away when we realize in that day and age, when you sent someone to do your bidding, that action could be attributed to you. In other words, he had somebody else go for him. I'm not sure what I'm trying to do, but hang on. Such as in John 19:1. Okay, let's look at John 19:1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 19:1, where it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." He says, Pilate never physically whipped Jesus. He gave the order and it was carried out by his underlings. The action was attributed to him, though. All apparent contradictions can be harmonized, such as the above one. What? Anyway, first of all, John 19:1, I had to look. Every place that it talks about Jesus being scourged, Pilate was the one that did it. Which I never had thought about. But when he had scourged Jesus, so yeah, it was Pilate that was done. Pilate did physically whip Jesus. So his point there, I guess, is that he's trying to point out a conflict or contradiction. One is the servant of the centurion, one is the centurion. And his point is to say that, so you can go through all the apparent contradictions. I don't know of any contradictions in the Gospels. The contradictions that are apparent are the ones that are between the Gospels and Paul. That's what we're talking about here. Now look at John chapter 16. He continues his thought here. John, it's hard to reason with this stuff because I don't understand a lot of the things he's saying here. John chapter 16. This one, to me, is like the kicker for the night here. John chapter 16. Verse 12. He says, as far as the risen Christ, look at John 16, 12 and 13, okay? I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Then it goes to 14:26. So we know where he's headed with this thing. We've been over these verses before. That the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay? So he says this. It is the Holy Spirit who revealed these things to Paul. Obviously, the Spirit got them from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He also revealed things to the other apostles as well. Look specifically at John 14:26, which we just read. The Spirit would remind them of the things Christ taught them on earth. Christ never talks about how his teachings have become worthless. Who said his teachings in the Gospels are worthless? We've never said that those teachings in the Gospels are worthless. Paul says those things are there for a purpose. Admonition and to learn. He says, Christ never talks about how his teachings have become worthless, aside from historical value, once he has risen from the dead. It seems as if they are still relevant. First of all, J.M., Paul did not hear from the Holy Spirit. He heard from Jesus himself. Let's look. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. None of this ever says that it was the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you something really interesting here, if you hang in there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Now, I want to say that for last. Let's go to Acts 26. Let's go to Galatians 1. There we go. Galatians 1, he says, verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he's assuming that, well, yes, Jesus spoke those, but it's the Holy Spirit that gave them to Paul. Hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, says it again. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. And he goes on and talks about me, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, why all of a sudden do you talk about himself? I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. And it goes on to the thorn and the whole thing. So this is Paul. Christ talked to Paul. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 15. Talking about, this is what Paul says, what happened on the road. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So this is Jesus talking to Paul. This is not the Holy Spirit. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now look at this verse. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. Now is that them putting faith in him, or is it by faith that is in me? Now Paul is the only place you find out about the faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say sanctified by having faith in me. It says which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's a marvelous little spot right there. Marvelous. And I asked him about, what do you know about the difference between the faith of Jesus and your faith? He said, I've never heard of that before. Well, no, you haven't. Old Testament people, gospel people, live by their faith. The heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is all based on their own faith. We have the faith of Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace era with Paul. Totally different. 100% totally different. We can lose our faith. We can give up our faith. We can come and go. We can grow. But it's his faith that we have. And he says it right here. Sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay. That's one place. Look at Acts 23:13. Acts 23:13. Oh, I don't want that. Acts 23:13-21. No. Let's go over here to Acts 22, verse 13. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that, this is Ananias talking to Paul, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. That's not the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear the voice of his mouth. Go down to verse 17. And it come to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testament concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned. So, this is me. This is the Lord himself. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, where it starts. Goes all the way, and you read the whole thing all the way across. That's the Lord speaking to Saul, or Paul, as such. Even to Ananias. The Lord said unto Ananias in verse 15. Even Ananias heard from the Lord himself. Read that whole little series in there. You'll see that. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Whereby, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Okay, he is Christ himself. Okay, so we know that. As I wrote afore, which we've read. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my, as Paul, knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay, now here's the point to be made here. Paul heard it from Christ himself. Once Paul was told by Christ himself that the mystery of is the mystery of Christ, all the stuff that he was taught to him, then the apostles and all these people were able to hear about it. But it was first given to Paul. And Paul was the one that taught these people, so the Spirit of God is going to work this whole stuff through Paul. As it's now revealed unto his holy apostles. How was it revealed? By Paul. And it goes on and talks about that. So here's what he says. As for the risen Christ, it is the Holy Spirit who revealed these things. Obviously the Spirit got them from the risen Lord. The Spirit would remind them of the things Christ taught them on earth. I guess I read this. Christ never talks about his teachings would become worthless. No, we never said they become worthless. We just said that we go on to Paul. Paul was the one given to the stuff today, in Paul's time. Christ doesn't discount what he taught to the Jews because he taught it to the Jews. In fact, John chapter 16, we talked about the answer to prayer concept. There's a whole problem there people have. Those verses will all come true again in the tribulation because it'll be to the Jews again. So it's not worthless. It's just not applicable to us. Doesn't mean it's worthless. Then he finishes up where he says here, what does killing Stephen have to do with the gospel going to the Gentiles? Really? In fact, the first Gentile was saved in Acts chapter 10. He was. And Peter delivered that message. In Acts 9, Paul is preaching to the Jews. Of course he is. In Acts chapter 13, Paul preaches. Of course he does to the Jews. Acts 4, Romans 10 tells you that Paul never wanted to give up on the Jews. But everywhere that Paul goes from one goes to the Jews, more to the Gentiles, he said, you've had your chance. Now I'm going on to the Gentiles. Acts, let's look at Acts, just one more thing here. Look at Acts, what is it at here? I think it's 28. Acts 28. It says here, verse 25, for example, I guess. 26, they go to this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart. He says in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Paul always wanted the Jews to hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years preaching the kingdom of God. And back in Matthew, we looked at the earlier verses, it was all about the centurion. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. Totally different. There was another place too. Where was it at? Let me see if I can find it here. I think it's Acts 13. Yeah, Acts 13. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So if we are supposed to, LJM, if we are supposed to be going on, everybody jumping in back to the Jewish doctrine, why were these Jews getting so mad at Paul's doctrine? Did anybody talk about, well, let's just get saved and let's go back to the Jewish teachings? Not at all. The Jewish people that were taught what they were taught, which was legitimate about the law at one time, they're filled with envy, and they speak against what Paul taught. So are you doing the same thing? Are you speaking against what Paul said? Are you like Alexander the coppersmith? Are you greatly withstanding Paul's words, trying to get people to go back to the Jewish teachings of the gospel, throwing in a few of the words of the verses from Paul that seemingly fit? No, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting, return to the Gentiles. And Paul's message to the Gentiles, it was still about the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it was his doctrine is from the resurrection of Christ, not he's from the risen Christ. The Jews were never taught that. So why are you trying to get us to go back to the Gospels? you basically ignore Paul's. You can't have both. They differ. We'll get into that later, another time. If they didn't differ, why would the Jews get so mad at it? Anyway. So there's round one. Just some little things here. I spent most of my day today tweaking on this computer stuff. But there are some questions by a gainsayer. He means well, because he's been taught these things. I don't think he even believes these things. It's just what he's been taught. He probably gets A's in his Bible class because he learns these things and knows how to answer it according to the professor. He can't stand alone with his Bible. I've got more coming up. They're amazingly like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'll try to deal with it anyway. Kind of like the thing about Daniel 9:27. So this couldn't be, this whole Hebrews to Jude can't be to the tribulation. Just because of this one little verse makes it sound like Daniel 9:27, and you go through this last week thing. No, the last times, Daniel. That's the last times he says there. So like I say, and if Scripture is powerful for application, you added a word. You added a concept that's not what it says. Oh, mockers? Sure, there's been mockers all the time. But not like it's going to be during the tribulation. And yes, those things are going to be going on, but they'll explain it. They explain them today. We got the Christians telling people that this is God's judgment in our country. They're gloriously wrong. So why can't during the time of the tribulation, when it is God's judgment coming down, there's going to be people that are saying it's not? It's just science has got this stuff all figured out. They'll talk away these things. Well, it's just a warm front that clashed with a cold front, da-da-da-da, and the moon is turning blood red because, well, that's just that we knew there was life on the moon, so that's the moisture that's there. This happens to be red because of the rust and because of the color from the space. I mean, they'll go through all this junk. Volcanoes, though, we knew they were coming. I mean, Revelation 11 tells us that. It tells us these guys are going to be mocking right up to the last. Even when Christ comes back, they're going to fight him. Come on, Jam. They're going to fight against Christ himself. Everybody's going to be so programmed for this stuff coming out of space that it's not going to bother people. Kids are going to expect things coming out of space when they grow up. Can you imagine if people would have come out of space in the 20s and 30s? Well, they did. Flying saucers. You believe that stuff? UFOs? Can't hardly refute proof. All the stuff the scientists are doing, they're controlling the weather now. Who's to say that they don't even control it to the point where they cause these things to happen? No, this is God's judgment that's going to be coming. And then to say that Jesus... Paul heard it from the Holy Spirit? No, Paul got it from Jesus himself. There's everybody else that gets it from the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, through Paul's teachings. And then what does Stephen have to do with the gospel going to the Gentiles? Just read Acts chapter 8 and then read Acts chapter 9 and see what happens here. Read it. Peter is the apostle to the circumcision. Galatians chapter 2. Paul is the apostle to the uncircumcision. What else do you want to know? If we are one in Christ, Jews, Gentiles, all that kind of stuff, then they need to get on the bandwagon for Paul. We're not getting on their bandwagon for the Jesus gospel. We're going on with Paul's bandwagon. You want to be one? You be one with us. One with Christ. He takes the wall of partition down. Yeah, now then they can come up to Jesus' teachings now. We were the ones that were lost away from all that stuff. Yeah, now he makes us free. Jews, you need to be made free. Remember, Dan, we talked about that. The word there is he makes us free. He makes us. It's not that he just gets us to stop. No, he makes us free. By getting rid of the law, all things are lawful. Now things that we do wrong will be burned in the judgment seat of Christ, of course. Terrible stuff. More than we realize. But to get back into the teachings of the gospel, let's put you back into church, let's put you back into religion, which put you right back where you started in the first place, if ever even got out. So there's the end of round one. I hope it was recorded somewhere, and maybe I can get some strength back to concentrate better. But things are just picking at me, and I'm just losing my concentration. I hope that helped. Hope that was understandable. I don't know, JM, if you listen to this, you said you would. I know it's not going to change your mind, because even if I convince you of those three things, you're still going to hit me with the communion and the baptism. then you got something else you want to hit me up on. I can give you verse upon verse upon verse upon verse upon verse that proves that Paul's writings, Paul's doctrine, Paul's dispensation of grace comes between the Gospels and the Tribulation. And the books that Paul writes to the Jews is a transition to the Tribulation, of which Peter and James and Jude and John are writing back to the Tribulation, because it's the end of your Bible, J.M. Look at your order of your Bible. We know the Bible is not chronologically in order, but we know it's in dispensational order. And quit listening to your teachers. Read your Bible for yourself. There we go. Good night.